Hello and welcome to Giving Ventures, a podcast to help you grow your giving and change the world for the better. Each episode, we share innovative charitable efforts leveraging private philanthropy to solve public problems. I'm your host, Peter Lipset, Vice President at Donors Trust. This show is a product of Donors Trust, the oldest and largest donor advised fund focused on helping conservative and libertarian donors of all capacities simplify, protect, and grow their giving. My colleagues and I talk with a lot of groups doing great work. This show lets us share a bit of what we learned with you so you can discover new projects for your own philanthropy. Long before we saw the emergence of education savings accounts and even some of the education tax credit programs available in different states, there were scholarship programs. These programs were built on the dollars charitably given by generous philanthropists who realized that opportunity for many kids could come with a ticket to a better school. These scholarships enabled families to choose private schooling options that were a better fit for them than the public schools, but too often were financially out of reach. And even as ESAs and tax credits and homeschooling rise in popularity, these scholarship programs continue to thrive. In fact, they will probably be necessary for quite a while, as belief in educational choice is a bit slow to take root in some states. Today, we're going to talk with three groups that didn't wait for change and instead are making it and have led it. The Children's Scholarship Fund and ACE Scholarships have both been in this for decades, and the Connecticut Center for Educational Excellence is a unique newer product sprung from Connecticut state think tank, the Yankee Institute. These are all noble efforts and indeed might be efforts you're going to be interested to be involved in. So let's jump in. Children's Scholarship Fund is one of the oldest and most durable organizations helping kids to get to better schools. Though its primary scholarship granting operations are in New York and New Hampshire, it works with affiliates and states to administer other programs, serving as a connector and a catalyst for private scholarships, ESAs, tax credit scholarship programs all across the country. Darla Rompro has led Children's Scholarship Fund since the beginning, and I am so pleased to talk to you today, Darla. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the idea behind the Children's Scholarship Fund in 1998... with Ted Fordsman and John Walton. Originally, it was going to be a one-time demonstration project, essentially. Let public officials really see there was this need out there. They needed to step up their game. Here we are 25 years later, and you're still around. So what happened?
Well, we did show the demand. We had 1,250,000 applications for the 40,000 scholarships. And Ted really hoped and believed, John was probably a little more less believing that in 4 years we were going to just upset the apple cart and the teachers unions would let go of this big power structure they were holding on to. But they made a very important point. They showed that 1,250,000 families were willing to put up their own money because they weren't full scholarships to have to get an access to a different education for their kids. 1,250,000 applications for 40,000 scholarships. Yes, it was going to be a four-year project. And about halfway into it, John, who was also working very hard on changing the public policy aspects of this, he and I were talking and he said, you know, this is such a good thing to do in and of itself. And it's also creates the proof points that show that our public policy is going to work. And it was a place where you get your juice. It's a place where you see the kids, you go to the schools. I remember seeing him sit down with families and say, you're the real heroes here. Because I'm doing this from the excess. You're doing it. You're sacrificing for your kids. And both Ted and John came to see that this sacrificial component, this parent engagement, this participation of the families, this was really critical and important. And so lo and behold, and also, you know, just their hearts are being generous. It's like these kids have been here for 4 years. They're sticking with the program. We have to help them all the way through the eighth grade. We can't just not take care of them. So being the generous people that they were, and we don't have them with us any longer, but they're and the families that came after them, that has been a strong base for us to continue to raise money and continue to help families. And it's evolved because, like I say, this has been, people say, you've been doing this a long time. It's just, yeah, but it's never been the same job. It's evolved so many times, and it's really evolved in the past few years because we had the help of COVID, which did something in terms of engaging families, which we've been working on so hard since the beginning, because that is truly where this change is going to come, from the bottom up. Families have to see, parents have to see that they really are the ones that are in charge of their kids' education. They have to take charge of it and want to and own it. They have to own it. And the changes that happened during COVID, parents seeing what was happening, finally saying, you know, a lot of people used to say, oh yeah, somebody else's school is bad, but my kid's school is pretty good. Well, that didn't hold up anymore because they could clearly see, I heard from so many parents, you wouldn't believe what was happening when I saw my child on screen learning remotely. So something was really a big shift.
Talk to me about the process here. So Children's Scholarship Fund is raising a mm-hmm. lot of dollars to get that into the hands of these families. What does that look like? I mean, there seem to be a few different strategies mm-hmm. at play into how all that works.
Well, in a state like New York, where we don't have publicly funded choice, taxpayer dollars do not follow the child. We are raising all philanthropic dollars to help over 7,000 kids have that choice to go to an independent school, a parochial school, micro school, home school. And we have wonderful retention rates, 85%. So that means year over year, families are continuing to, even when they're fleeing the city, this is such an important part of their life that they planted around being able to be in New York, to go to this school. Our kids are chosen based not on their grades, it's based on need. And so we do a calculation. We have an intake process. We do a calculation based on their income, the size of their family, and the tuition of the school. And we do a graduated rate of the scholarship up to $3,600 in New York City. So that's a much smaller amount than what follows kids in a publicly funded program, a taxpayer funded program, which is we have, because we were in such a place to know about how to run scholarship programs, we were selected in New Hampshire to run the Education Freedom Account program, which is a program where the state portion of the funding for education follows the child. So we also have an intake process there because it's not universal there. It's up to a certain percentage of your income. I think they just raised it to 500%, which means we have to verify income. Once we determine that a parent is qualified, we submit that information to the state. They fund the accounts. The accounts go into a third-party wallet. We go into those accounts as a family spending the money and make sure that the money is being used for statutory approved expenditures. And so it's a different process, but a lot of the skills we learned in being a scholarship granting organization apply in what we're doing now. And one of the things that's unique, you're probably hearing about ESAs and they're usually called education savings accounts. You know, New Hampshire being the state that it is, calls them freedom accounts. We love that about New Hampshire. But you see that some of them are being administered at the state level. They're being administered by the Treasury Department and the DOE. I think the unique and really special thing about having them be administered by a scholarship granting organization, not for profit, is that we are very clear about who our customer is. Our customer is always going to be the family. We are always going to be, in particular with CSF, we have particular heart and empathy for the low-income family, even though I completely support universal ESAs. But we want to make sure that the low-income family is never left behind. An SGO will always make the parents the customer. And it's very easy to get confused about who the customer is. And we have to be really important in this movement that we never get confused about this. Parents have to be owners. That's important at so many levels, a cultural level, the quality of education level, just in, you know, forming the family, strengthening the family. It all these things come together to help do that. And we always have to remember that that is the fundamental, that is our customer.
Well, and it's, I mean, how many hours a day are the kids in whatever school they're in, whether it's a good school or a bad school? That's a big matter for the family.
It's huge. And,
I think you're 100% right on that. Now, so you talked about New Hampshire and you're administering that program, but you have all these other affiliates that you're working with as well. I know we're going to talk to Norton Rainey of the ACE Scholarships here next, and I know they're a partner with you in different ways. How are you working with all these other groups, and as all these ESA groups kind of pop up, how are you partnering?
Well, it's interesting you mention ACE, because ACE actually came on board after we started, and John Walton and one of the founders of ACE came together, and we're each going to put up half the funding, and John did his through CSF. So we were, you know, 50, that's how we started in the beginning. We did 50% of the funding to get these organizations started. And ACE has grown, you know, it's terrific. They've grown independently. We still make some grants to them, and we still count them as part of our partnership group. And so we have these partners all around the country. We used to start out being 50% partners, and you know, we gradually wanted to scale that back. They're not under our 501c3. Never wanted them to be under our 501c3. And our co-founders didn't care if they were branded with our name. Some of them are CSF Philadelphia, CSF New Hampshire, but that wasn't important to John and Ted. They really wanted to make sure that these organizations, they wanted to help them get started across the country. They wanted them to grow organically. Every community in America has a different culture, a different way you raise money, different things that appeal to your donors. So that was really important. But we also saw last week, we brought our partners from around the country together, along with allies in education reform. We had 95 people who came to New York to talk about all the things that we're doing together. Our partners learn from us. A lot of them are small mom and pop shops. ACE is not one of those, but a lot of them are pretty small. Maybe they have two or three staffers. And so they really learn from us about our databases and our fundraising practices and all of our other best practices. And we also try to bring them along in the school choice movement and put them in a position so that they can make a contribution to this whole effort in their state. If they, you know, if the other organizations that are working on these things, American Federation for Children, EdChoice, when they come along and are doing something, something's happening in the state, we are positioned to provide the proof points, get the families that can testify, just be part of this organic effort to get these programs passed.
Well, it's interesting. And, you know, you've really developed this expertise and this high-minded. We think about the school choice movement. We think about the policy. We think about the high-mindedness of it. But you've really developed this technocratic, if you will, kind of expertise that needs to be replicated for all of those high-minded ideas to actually be successful. And so I think that's great. That actually helps me. I mean, how many times have we talked about everything you do, but that's really pulling that into focus for me a lot. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, EdChoice named the New Hampshire EFA program as like the best run program in the country. And, you know, that's a really nice accolade. I don't know, you know, that's their opinion and I'm proud of it. And we have a really good team up there. And part of my team in New York works on this program too. And, you know, but I think one of the things that I keep repeating, and I really is being the attention to the parents and treating the parents as a customer and always holding that as your parents are the first educators of their children. And, you know, this is all about them. And like I said, I go back to you, this is how you change things at the grassroots level.
Right. You need a means to actually accomplishing this school choice future, and you're helping to do that. So, you know, one last question for you. I mean, it's got to be frustrating that you haven't seen this great shift in all these schools. I mean, but at this point, we know that there are failing schools. There shouldn't be any failing schools anymore. We know that they're there. We can identify them. And yet, there are people who spend more time aiming their fire at Children's Scholarship Fund and groups like yours, and instead of actually just reforming the schools. Does that make you just pull your hair out at some times?
Sometimes I'm still incredulous at the reactions of people that just keep, you know, pulling out the same old arguments. It was comical to watch during COVID. I mean, how the teachers union, some of the things that they said and did, it's just like, are you still doing this and still saying these things? They're just so old and tired. But, you know, the media keeps repeating them. So I guess the thing that you need is patience. It's a long game. I mean, and now we have like 20 million kids eligible in this country for some kind of choice. It's going to get some work for, you know, I think the people at the higher income levels will understand and take advantage of it very quickly. It's going to take some work to get everybody else on board and understanding what's available to them. And I would also say that, you know, you just really do have to have the long view, and you also have to really stay focused on the fact. I always remember something Teddy Forsman say, if you change a life, you change the world. And I never want to discount the fact of, you know, we've helped over 200,000 kids. And I know just from the, you know, I haven't met 200,000 kids, but I've met a lot of people, and I know how this has changed their lives. And then when you change a life, you really have no idea what the impact's going to be, the ripple effect beyond that. And you have to, you know, we are here at this time in this place doing this work. And I have to believe and I hope that I was here for a particular time and a particular purpose, and that I'm, you know, you do what you're supposed to do and some higher power takes care of the rest. And I firmly believe that. And I don't think you can lose hope in that, because you have to understand and know. And you just know how it is when you get one letter from someone who says, you changed my life. This came at an important point in my life and it changed everything. You forget about the other 199,000 kids. Like, that would be enough for my whole life. that I had some impact on somebody's life. And then I think, wait, we're doing this to thousands of kids and we don't even know beyond them, like what we're doing to the family, what we're doing beyond in the community. Because we have people that when they come to get a scholarship, we say, how did you find out about us? And they say, well, I saw a mom who was sending her kid to private school. And I thought, well, if she can do it, maybe I can do it too. How are you doing this? So there's just so much impact that comes from doing this work and being committed to it and staying the course. So that's what keeps me going.
When you're on the side of right, you can keep plunging forward with that. And I think everything you're doing at Children's Scholarship Fund is a great testament to the legacy of John Walton and to Ted Fortzman and to the future of what we really need in this country. Darla Rumfro, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
We mentioned 8 scholarships in the previous conversation, and now we get to dive a little deeper into what it is. Founded in 2000 by a group of savvy Colorado business leaders, ACE believes that every child deserves access to quality education. It offers partial scholarships to children in need, similar to Children's Scholarship Fund, so they can choose the right school for their needs. As we'll discuss, it has grown well beyond those initial scholarships and even beyond the borders of Colorado, having invested more than $200 million into more than 80,000 scholarships and also helping to advance school choice. Norton Rainey leads ACE as its CEO, and I'm happy to talk to you today, Norton.
Peter, good morning. It's wonderful to be with you and to all your listeners. Thanks for having me.
So you started out as a fairly straightforward grant-making, scholarship-giving organization. How would you describe what you do now?
Well, the vision of ACE is that every child has access to a high-quality education. Regardless of their income levels, our position at ACE is that we come alongside those that cannot afford an education, like wealthier and middle-income families can. And so we're really right now at a national level, we are encouraging stakeholders to get behind the school choice movement because our country can't afford to let our kids down. And what we see occurring in our country at this time is far too many children are being left behind. We are very committed to ensuring that especially those who are coming from a poor family have access to a high-quality private K-12 institution and really the institution that's right for their family where they can be educated, where they can begin thinking about their future as they graduate from high school and going to college and securing a job someday. But what it boils down to is that it all begins with an education. And if you're not educated, you can't succeed in this world. And sadly, our education system in our country is the haves and the have-nots. And our country right now ranks anywhere from 15th to 38th in math and science and reading compared to other countries. And that's a travesty for how much money we spend. We spend more money than any other country in the world, yet our education system is letting our children down. So we encourage our kids and our families, and we believe in them as we come along their side by providing partial tuition scholarships to go to great schools so they can realize their dreams.
And they're doing it too, right? Did I see, was it your website? Was it somewhere else that you've got like essentially 100% of the scholarship students go on to college?
Yeah, what a remarkable thing that when you empower parents with choice to go to the school that's right for them, they make exceedingly good choices for their children. They do graduate at 100% rate from high school. And what's really great about this is they're ready for college or the trades or the military. We're seeing that the majority of our kids, at least 9 out of 10, who graduate from high school will go to college. But we also applaud those who decide to serve our country by going in the military or in this day and time going in the trades where it's so desperately needed right now to hire people that can actually do the labor in our country. They're educated and launching their own businesses. So we love the fact that choice is leading to a 100% graduation rate in our program.
That is phenomenal. Now, I have in my mind this Colorado-centric model for ACE. I knew Alex Kranberg a long time ago. In my mind, ACE equals Colorado. But you're working in 12 states. You've just added Mississippi and Delaware, I believe. So Colorado is just a piece of a big whole. What have the challenges and the opportunities that have come from that big expansion?
Well, we were launched in 2000 by Alex Kranberg and 5 other great business leaders, including John Walton from the Walton Fund and also from Children's Scholarship Fund. These great leaders had a vision that we could help kids go to great schools. And actually, what's interesting is the vision by Alex Kranberg and some others was that within 3-4 years, ACE would be out of business once we passed legislation in the state of Colorado. And sadly, we learned our lesson the hard way. We actually passed a tax credit bill to see this bill overturned by our state Supreme Court. And so we really doubled down and we began raising more money so that we could grow our private investments in kids. And then 10 years into our work, we received a call from now Governor Gene Forte in Montana, who said, "I've heard about ACE. I really don't want to reinvent the wheel and do the same work that ACE is doing. Can you come to Montana?" And so we put a pen to paper and created a business plan as to what our model would look like if we expanded outside of Colorado. And over close to 25 years now, we've grown to 12 states. We have 14,000 students on scholarship as we speak. By this fall, we'll have close to 25,000 students on scholarship now that we're managing the Education Savings Account program in the state of Utah. But really, where we are is a testament to what is occurring in our country. There is a soaring demand among parents for school choice, and so ACE is the tip of the spear. And we call this a watershed moment. This is our moment in time right now where the foundation we've laid in this organization and our knowledge and our base and understanding how to expand and grow into more states and serve more kids is really more critical than ever, because honestly, our kids are still being let down. Too many kids are being subjected to schools that are not serving their needs very well. And that's where ACE comes in, is to free them and provide an opportunity to have greatness in their lives.
Are most of those states that you've expanded into with the scholarship states that do not have some kind of educational savings account or something similar?
That is correct. So we've got three aspects of our program. The first is we have what's called our core business. And the core business is really focused on being in states right now that have no form of legislation. Then there are states that have tax credit policy. And now the newest thing, the most exciting, shiny object in school choice are these education savings accounts, or ESAs. And that's what the country is really embracing at this time. And they tend to be passed by red states more than blue states. And so our traditional core model is really taking hold in blue states right now, where they're not passing legislative initiatives and they're raising money from private citizens to support kids who go to the school of choice. So I would say as a whole, ACE is growing in our policy efforts as we are expanding through ESA efforts and tax credit policy, but also making sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that some states really don't have these initiatives and they need people in their communities to really step up, to come forward, to write checks, and allow families to go to great schools.
Now, among these great schools, I think I saw that 85% of the schools that parents are choosing for these scholarships are faith-based schools. I don't know why I was so surprised that that was so high. Maybe I shouldn't have been. Is that so high because of the demand side of that's what the parents want? Or is it a supply side thing that there's just a lot of faith-based private schools out there?
You know, great question. It really is certainly a combination. You've got a lot of families that are looking for a values-based environment. And there's really a few factors that stand out when parents are looking for a private school. Number one, they're looking for a safe environment. Secondly, they're looking for an environment that's rigorous. And they're also looking for an environment that has great values. And that may include faith, but not always. There certainly is a high supply of faith-based schools at this time. And you do see churches and organizations that want to make a difference in their communities. When they see people in their communities who are suffering and not being educated, oftentimes what happens is that they boldly will start their own private schools. And these many times are former public school teachers. They're people who know something about education, and now they just want to make a difference. The remarkable thing about private schools that very few people understand is that you are hard-pressed to find a greater value than private schools. The average tuition in most of our schools is anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 per year. Conversely, the cost to educate a kid in a public school is normally much greater than $15,000 per year. So they're a wonderful bargain for the education that they're receiving. But interestingly, we do hear from our parents all the time that they're just looking for an environment where their values are respected and where their kids can be educated so they can flourish and live the lives they want.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that educational choice really just meant picking between a private school, maybe a parochial school, and a a public school, maybe if you're lucky, a public charter school. But now you have micro schools, you have the ability to pay tuition across school district lines, there's online learning, there's just so many options. How has that expansion of options changed what you are paying for with these scholarships?
Well, it's terribly exciting for one. And in our core business, we're focused only on private school education at this time. Our work with ESAs, really a family can use that money however they see fit, if it's approved by their state. They can use that money for a private school. They can use it for a micro school, which really are these offshoot small little private schools being started by families who care about education. And they could be a very small environment, almost like a homeschool environment. ESA money can be used for homeschools, can be used for tutoring, for books, transportation, anything that enhances your experience. You now have total autonomy to use that money as you see fit, which is a win for parents. And as an organization that is supported by so many people who believe in free markets and capitalism, this really is the American way. It is opening up doors of opportunity and the floodgates for parents to educate their children in the environment that is best suited for them. You know, I had a call last week from someone who was pitching us on actually extending RA scholarships to students after 12th grade. And what this organization does is they partner with high schools and they provide an associate's degree in college over a two-year period of time for $3,000 per year.
Wow.
So you think about the cost of college now and that they can come into a school and educate a kid with college core credits at $3,000 per year. It just really right there is another example of where education in our country is going, which is exciting and allowing families to flourish.
Well, there's a ton of innovation. You've mentioned a lot of it. And I know, you know, beyond the core business, as you've said, you do some work in policy to expand that offering. As we wrap up here, what do you think the most important pieces of policy work that you all are doing will be over the next year or two?
Well, two things. One is going to be protecting existing legislation. There, unfortunately, are critics who are opposed to school choice, and they are seeking to undermine this movement. And so they are creating bills in state legislatures that could significantly erode or destroy existing programs that are in place, whether it's a tax credit or a voucher program. The second thing we're doing is we're working to really pass ESA programs. And we've got more than 13 states around the country that now have some form of ESA. As we speak legislatively, there are bold leaders in states around the country that are passing programs. And so our government affairs, our policy team, is really committed to working on and curating very high-quality legislation and working with stakeholders that allow them to pass ESA bills so that more families can go to school. And it's really cool, Peter. There's more than $1 billion right now in ESA programs around the country. Hundreds of thousands of kids will now have access to the school they need, which means we're creating real scale, real impact, and a change in our country that is desperately needed.
Agreed. No, it's exciting. It's been exciting to watch, and they keep popping up new bills and new places, and hoping for lots more. And the work that you guys are doing to prove the model of how it works is really important, as well as the public policy work. So Norton Rainey with ACE Scholarships, really glad you could talk to us today.
Peter, thank you so much. Do appreciate it.
Both of the groups we've spoken with so far are built around school scholarships and promoting school choice. Our next group came at that same idea a little bit more indirectly. The Yankee Institute for Public Policy is the free market think tank in the state of Connecticut and has long been a strong advocate for pro-market, pro-growth solutions in a state that is not always trending towards the conservative ideas. But Yankee does have some great wins in pushing back against some of the worst proposals along the way. And in the past few years, with little sign that Connecticut is going to join the Legion of States adding education savings account and otherwise expanding school choice, Yankee opted for its own solution. And to tell us about that is Yankee President Carol Platt Liebau. Carol, what is the state of play when it comes to school choice in Connecticut?
Well, so far, we have had a state that is very dominated by one special interest, and that is government unions. Chief among them, of course, are our friends in the teachers union, the leaders of the teachers union, who are very resistant, as all of us know, to any kind of education reform. That, we believe, is beginning to change, not because they're having a change of heart, but because people across our state saw just how badly children, and especially low-income children, suffered during the COVID pandemic. And we decided that we needed to do something because, as you know, Peter, Yankee Institute was founded 40 years ago this year, partly on the premise that education reform was something that needed to happen if all of us were going to truly, have the opportunity that America promises its people. And so Yankee Institute decided we needed to be in the business of actually providing on-the-ground services, the first state think tank to do that, but not for its own sake, as worthy and admirable as that cause is, but so that we could be more effective in rallying grassroots to be able to push for the kind of legislative reform that our state needs.
So let's talk about this on-the-ground solution you've built, this Connecticut Center for Educational Excellence, the scholarship program you've built to fill the void. Tell us about it.
So last year, Yankee Institute opened as a project the Connecticut Center for Educational Excellence. And we have a very unwieldy acronym, CTCEE. And CTCEE is in the business of providing scholarships to low-income children across Connecticut, children who are eligible for the school lunch program. And we've had wonderful organizations who have provided similar scholarships, but they've been limited essentially to a few cities in our state. We have decided that we are providing these scholarships statewide. And providing these scholarships is a wonderful thing in and of itself, but there is also a strategic component to a CTCEE's decision to do this. And that is because as CTCEE provides these scholarships, it also offers an avenue for Yankee Institute to come alongside and to really get to know the families that these scholarships go to and to work with them and to help them become the most influential and the most effective advocates for education reform. And we have decided that it makes the most sense to begin with what we have called opportunity scholarships. Opportunity scholarships are, in essence, tax credit scholarships, where people who give to scholarship organizations, scholarship granting organizations, that is organizations like CTCEE or some of the other groups in our state that give these organizations, for example, some of the ones in three separate cities, anyone who gives scholarships to low-income children would receive a tax credit rather than a tax deduction. And the reason, we have wonderful people in our state who are pushing for all kinds of different reforms, like money follows the child, like a whole different host of reforms. But because the teachers' unions in our state are so powerful, the problem with that approach, in our view, is that what it allows them to do is to make the misleading but highly effective argument that money follows the child, whatever, quote unquote, defunds our public schools. That argument has great emotional appeal to a lot of swing voters in Connecticut suburbs, where we actually have excellent public schools, and you will find a lot of people who will resist any kind of educational reform if they think that it will make our very excellent suburban public schools any less excellent.
So let me make sure I get this right, because once it comes to tax credit scholarships, I always get confused, and I don't think I'm alone on that. So to fund all this, it is not contributions, a charitable contribution to Yankee or to CTCEE that is funding it. It is actually a tax credit that an individual, or I guess presumably a business, makes to Yankee,
well,
to the entity?
In other words, someone would make a gift to CTCEE, and then they would get a tax credit.
Mm. Okay, got it.
For a portion of that gift.
Instead of
and
a deduction.
Precisely. And, you know, it's a very modest reform. But in a very blue state like Connecticut, it's where it needs to begin.
Did Yankee have to push for that change? Is that something that's a recent change, or was that underlying already in the tax code and you just took advantage of it?
Oh, no, that is not yet law.
Oh, okay.
We are working to make that law. And last year, we came within hours of that becoming law. Mm. And in fact, we were assured it was going to happen. And the teachers union reached into a bill that was on the floor and ready to be voted on. And even those who are among the most risk-averse conservative viewers of the political scene said it's a done deal. And the teachers unions were able to reach their friends in the legislature and get that one provision stripped out. So we are at it again. And we're going to keep at it until this happens, because we believe this is the first step to educational opportunity and access for low-income children.
But even without that, you have scholarships you are granting out.
Absolutely. We have scholarships that we're giving all over the state. And Peter, the need is unbelievable. We started and through word of mouth, you know, we do no advertising, simply through word of mouth with these low-income families. Within a month or so of the scholarship simply becoming available, we had 900 applications.
And how many scholarships are you able to provide at this point?
We were able to provide a little over 100 this year, and we are obviously looking to fund more. And we provide scholarships of up to $2,500. And then with every scholarship, every family that receives them has skin in the game. And they have to provide the balance of that and the very modest tuitions that are charged by really most of the families choose parochial or sort of neighborhood private schools. But what has been remarkable is that there are schools, for example, here in Fairfield County, which is, you know, where, for example, Darien and Greenwich, all of those are in Fairfield County, but a school, Easton Country Day, has worked with us, and they have accepted a lot of our scholarship students, and they have been impressed. They have talked about the change in tone in their community that has resulted from having some of these children in their school, because they talk about how grateful these students are, how motivated they are, and what a wonderful thing it has done, not just for the students who are receiving the scholarship, but for the rest of the student body. Because, of course, they worry a lot about things like entitlement and all kinds of things. And they say it's just been great for the parents to see these parents and how eager they are to come in and participate and help. And it's been great for the students because, of course, all the parents of the students who are already there worried about things like entitlement and, you know, people appreciating what they have and seeing these students who are so grateful to be there and working so hard to stay. It's just been a great thing for everyone on both sides.
Well, and that's good to hear, because sometimes you hear what I think is a fairly disingenuous argument that, well, these private schools don't want those low-income inner-city kids anyway. And you're saying that is not what you're seeing at all.
No, it isn't. And, you know, I think it is very difficult when the government tries to come in and social engineer situations with schools that may not be ready for certain kinds of students and students who may not want to be there. But when you have scholarship students with parents who are actually working themselves to make the attendance possible, you can bet those parents are incentivized to make sure those students keep their place. These students are eager to be there because they understand what it means to their parents to have them there, and they want to succeed.
So what do you think this does for you as a state think tank, and how do you think it's going to be able to change the narrative around school choice there in Connecticut?
Well, you know, it's been really wonderful for us, Peter, because a lot of what people who oppose our work and everything we stand for try to say about us is that we don't care about the less fortunate. They love to try and claim that because we don't believe in government engineering, in government confiscation at high tax rates, that we don't believe in helping the less fortunate or low-income people. And this kind of program is, by its very existence, a rebuttal to that. It shows that we very much care about those other people might consider the lost and the least among us. But It's the way that we consider the most effective kind of caring. And it really offers us an opportunity to point to the philanthropists in Connecticut. And we have so many very, very generous people who have been successful in life, who have earned success, and they turn around and they want to invest back in the state. They want to help offer a hand up to young people, you know, to these K through 8 students who only want an opportunity and they want to, you know, offer them a good education. A lot of these kids are trapped in failing public schools. Perhaps they're being bullied. Perhaps they're really, really bright. And the school either can't or won't offer them the resources that will enable them to excel at a level that really meets their abilities, that are excellent. And these philanthropists turn and they say, you know, we understand education is that first foothold on the ladder of opportunity. Education is the gateway, is the pathway to a life of dignity and fulfillment. And we are willing to put our money where our mouth is. We are willing to help people who want to help themselves and to ensure that children who are capable and who are eager and, you know, every child deserves the opportunity to use his or her God-given talents to live a life of dignity and fulfillment. And they're willing to support this program.
That's terrific. Well, I think it's a great experiment, one that I hope will be replicated, particularly in the other blue states where the battle is on, and it's much harder. It's a bigger fight. But we're glad that groups like Yankee and the work that you're doing, Carol, are out there. Thank you so much.
Delighted to be with you. Thank you for all you do to help make our work possible, Peter. We're very grateful to you and everyone at Donors Trust.
Isn't it interesting how both Children's Scholarship Fund and the ACE Scholarships thought they were initially looking at just short-term projects? That was 25 years ago, and while we have not solved the problem of poor public schools and a lack of choice for families, we certainly are making incredible strides around the country. And in places where those strides are a little slower, we see new innovations like what Yankee Institute is doing. It is always amazing to me, though, how private philanthropy can fill in the gaps in so many holes in society. The work these three groups and the myriad of similar organizations with whom they partner or maybe acting alone is really remarkable. And you know what? You don't need to be a Walton or a Fortsman to put your money into a cause like this. Every dollar helps to improve the situation. And I know you wouldn't be listening to this if you didn't share that philanthropic impulse. That is why, of course, I end each show thanking you for being a giver. For those of you not doing your giving through a donor advised fund, or who do use a donor advised fund but do it elsewhere, I do hope you'll visit Donors Trust website at donorstrust.org and learn a bit more about how we can help you as a conservative or libertarian donor to simplify and protect and grow your giving. We would be delighted to partner with you in your own efforts, big and small, to make the world better. Well, we'll be back very soon with a new episode. As always, thank you for being a giver. Let's talk more soon.